Every now and then a story emerges that seems too strange to be real and turns out to be entirely real. The Cat in the Hat trend is one of those. For listeners who missed it, a social media trend loosely themed around the Dr. Seuss character has spread across platforms, and the exact mechanism varies by location, apparently inspired a wave of threats, intimidation, and in some cases actual disturbances at schools across multiple states. This resulted in school closures and at least several arrests as of this morning.
These viral threat spirals follow a pattern that's worth naming. Something begins as a meme, often ironic or absurdist in its original form, and then gets picked up by individuals who use the cultural cover of the meme to make threats that they believe will be dismissed as jokes. When those threats reach administrators, who have post-Uvalde and post-Parkland threat assessment protocols, the default is to take them seriously and close schools, which is the correct decision. But the perverse effect is that the school closure itself amplifies the meme, creating a feedback loop.
The arrests are important because they signal that law enforcement is treating these threats as criminal rather than as protected speech, even when the original content was clearly meme format. Making a credible threat to a school, regardless of intent, meets the threshold for criminal charges in most jurisdictions, and the Cat in the Hat framing doesn't provide legal shelter.
There's a genuine policy question about platform responsibility here. If a trend originates on and spreads through social media infrastructure, and that spread directly produces school closures affecting tens of thousands of students, the platforms are at minimum part of the causal story. Whether they're legally liable is a separate and complicated question involving Section 230 protections. But the "we're just a platform" argument is harder to sustain when the specific mechanism of spread is the recommendation algorithm.
The back-to-school timing: this is September 1st, literally the first day of the academic year in some districts, makes this more acute. Families starting the school year and immediately encountering closures and security incidents sets a deeply anxious tone.
Now, Marcus, I want to use the second half of this segment for something we do periodically, genuinely interrogating our own most confident claims. And today, I think the most confident claim in the room is the oil price story. The consensus view is that Brent crude staying above $90 is essentially guaranteed as long as Gulf tensions persist, and that sustained energy inflation is now baked in.
That's a very reasonable claim, and I've been making versions of it all morning, but let me engage the counterargument seriously. What would need to be true for that prediction to be wrong? First, a rapid de-escalation. The U.S.-Iran exchange has escalated before. 2020, after Soleimani's death, is the obvious parallel, and both sides pulled back from the brink faster than markets anticipated. Iran does not want a full military campaign that would devastate its economy, and the Trump administration, whatever its rhetoric, has domestic political incentives to avoid open-ended military engagement heading into 2026 elections.
Second, and this is the one that I think gets underweighted, production flexibility. Saudi Arabia has maintained significant spare production capacity. Estimates range from 2 to 3 million barrels per day, and has historically deployed that capacity to stabilize prices when politically motivated. If Riyadh decides that $90 oil risks destabilizing global growth in ways that harm Saudi Vision 2030 ambitions, they have the tools to partially offset the Hormuz disruption.
Third, and this is more speculative, the Hormuz disruption might be less complete than initial reports suggest. Maritime insurance markets and tanker operators are risk-averse, so even a relatively modest increase in danger can trigger outsized reductions in traffic. But if the actual physical disruption is smaller than the fear premium suggests, the market correction could be sharper than expected once clarity improves.
So what should listeners watch for if this consensus view is wrong? Three signals. One, a direct communication channel opening between Tehran and Washington, even an indirect one through Oman, which has historically played that role. Two, Saudi Arabia announcing voluntary production increases, which would be a clear signal that Riyadh is trying to cap the price spike. And three, tanker traffic data from the Lloyd's of London ship tracking services. If vessels start moving through the strait at higher volumes than the headlines suggest, the supply disruption story needs revision. Those three indicators, tracked over the next 72 hours, will tell you a lot more than the rhetoric from either capital.